First John chapter 5 is our... Why don't you stand with me tonight as we read this passage of Scripture? 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat... Let me back up again. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. Father, help us tonight. Pray that you would give anointing to your worthy servant this evening. I pray that you would give anointing to our ears as well as to our heart, that we would be receptive and receive of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I want to talk about our faith tonight. Actually, I want to give an acrostic using the word faith. But before we can understand what this is all about in the relationship to our faith, I think we have to understand what is meant by the word world. What are we to overcome? What is it that John says we do overcome as a Christian? When he said the world, what was he speaking about? We can study and understand through that study that the old Greeks used the word to mean the whole universe, the earth in its beauty, the creation of the entire world, the universe. We can find that type found in Acts chapter 17, verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein. The world as an entire place. But if you put that definition over here in 1 John 5, 4, you might find it a little difficult to understand how are we to overcome that definition of the world. See, that's not what he's talking about. Sometimes the world is used as the entire human family, the whole world of men or people. That form can be found over in the book of Matthew, among other places. But Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, Jesus tells us that ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of mankind, of people. We are to influence people out of that verse. He's also talking about that same type of world over in John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse number 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So that is the whole world of mankind. People. But is John talking about people as though people are our enemy and we have to overcome people in 1 John 5, 4? I don't think that's the case either. That's not our enemy. The universe is not our enemy. These things that we've already mentioned are not our enemy that we must overcome. But when John uses the word world here in this verse, he is referring to a world that has no part of God, or a world that is hostile to God's heart. A world that must needs be overcome by everyone that is born of God. In this passage then, 1 John 5 and verse 4, the world means all of human life and society as far as it is alienated from God Himself. Those things that are centered on material objects, material aims, temporal aims, and those are the things that oppose God and the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God. It's what we could simply term the spirit of the age, the world. Now, St. Paul tells us in some of his writings that there are some things of this world that are in opposition to the things of God. Those things that Paul might suggest to us or tell us that are in opposition to the Spirit of God would be the love of money, the lust of the eyes. He would also say that the pride of life would be in opposition to God. You see, that makes up the defining element of what the world is that we as Christians not just should overcome, but must needs overcome. We must overcome. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And if that be the case in our life, the victory comes through our faith. Now I realize, don't get me wrong this evening, I realize that victory comes through the grace of God. I understand that, but I also believe that we need to understand that our faith needs to be such that it allows grace to be active. Even our faith. Faith is the conquering element that we must activate for ourselves, that we must bring into the equation. Faith gives us the victory. Faith brings us five things. Five letters in the word faith. The first one, the letter F. Faith brings us freedom. John tells us in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be completely free, or free indeed. Completely free. Completely free from what? How many Christians do you know, maybe you can even point to yourself, have had to deal with false guilt? False guilt being that of something that the enemy tries to put over top of you, saying that you've done wrong, or saying that something that you had done in the past was not forgiven by God. Oh, God didn't forgive that. You can't expect God to forgive that. Some people that I've known have had struggles at an altar of prayer because they couldn't name everything that they had committed. And so later down the road, when things would come back to them in their mind, the enemy would try to get them to say, well, you didn't confess that out, so that hasn't been forgiven. When in reality, it very well could have been forgiven if they confessed their heart and the deed of the heart, the sin of the heart. God understands our failings in being able to pinpoint every single detail, but as He brings them to us at the point of prayer, then we confess them. But the devil doesn't have any right to bring up things that are forgiven. The past. Freedom brings freedom. Freedom from guilt, whether it's real guilt or fake guilt, false guilt. He can give us freedom from real guilt. He gives us freedom from anger, freedom from bitterness, freedom from hatred, freedom from pride and jealousy, freedom from a host of things that oppose Him. All of which is a bondage to the bearer. All of these things are a bondage to the person that carries them. But faith in the Son brings freedom. The second letter is A. Faith brings freedom. Faith brings action. Action would be service. Paul says in Romans 12:1 that service is our reasonable service. giving to God, being what God wants us to be, a surrendered servant, a yielded sacrifice, service, action. James chapter 1, verse 22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. That's really a text all in itself. Some people are willing to talk about their faith. Some people are able to talk big about faith. Some people can talk all day long about things that people ought to be doing too in relationship to their faith. But until that person allows their faith to become active through service, then they're just talking. To be effective, faith must be active. Active faith requires doing. Active faith requires being. Active faith requires speaking. Active faith requires living. Active faith requires loving God and loving others. Active faith is not like the cook that starved to death. Active faith is not like the Tyrians who helped Solomon build the temple, a place to worship God, the one true God, and yet remained in their idolatry. Active faith comes from something that is taking place in the heart and then is brought out in the midst of the activities of the life. Faith brings freedom, faith brings action, faith brings insight. James chapter 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Ask of God and it shall be given him. Have you ever had to ask God for wisdom? If you're a parent, you probably have. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you probably have. If you have any kind of activity speaking to people about their spiritual needs, you've probably asked for wisdom. Some of you in the medical field, you've probably had to ask for wisdom. Does your faith provide for you in the midst of your spiritual life, spiritual insight? Have you ever had an experience in your spiritual life where when you look back on that experience, you wonder where the knowledge or the insight or the wisdom came from? Have you ever had that happen? Boy, I just wondered where all those words came from. You see, faith, an active faith, also brings us insight. Lacking wisdom, we can ask from God. Not a wisdom that comes from textbooks. Not a wisdom that comes from philosophers. Something that can be learned in human life. But a wisdom of salvation. A wisdom that gives a life of holiness, or that provides a life of holiness. Wisdom to serve Jesus Christ, spiritual wisdom. Faith brings insight. Faith also brings trust. Psalm 37:40, the Lord shall help them and deliver them because they trust in him. Because they put their faith, their trust in him. We've heard stories, probably all of us have heard stories of missionaries who had to put their entire trust and their entire faith in the invisible. They did not have anything temporal in which they could use to supply or provide whatever it was that was needed at that point. Maybe you and I have had to do that as well at times. But we hear it more often from missionaries than from us who have sometimes so much more. And we've probably heard it more of the in history, years gone by, than what we do now, even among missionaries. I'm talking about people who did not have a thing, but God, in the moment of need, or if you like, the nick of time, provided what was needed, whether it was protection, whether it was groceries for the breakfast table when the cupboards were bare. Time and time again, God provides for those who trust in Him. Now, you and I don't have to trust that way because Walmart's not that far away. JC store's even closer. So if the last drop of milk runs out of the jug and you throw the jug into the recycle bin or into the trash, it's not very far to run to the store to get another jug of milk. Well, maybe you didn't have any money, but you probably, if it was desperate enough, you probably have something that you could sell in order to have milk or bread or whatever it is. You know, we have so many blessings. We don't have to pray and seek God for a lot of things that are needs. Quite often what we have going for us is that there's so many things that we have above and beyond our needs that have been provided. Because they trust in Him. But a faith that is strong should and does bring about a trust in the One who never fails. Though we may not have to experience the dire straits that we've heard of years gone by, we must have a faith that trusts in God. Faith brings a trust. Finally, the last word of letter of the word faith is H. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Faith brings heaven. I used to hear people talking, Brother Montgomery, about age bringing about a stronger tug from the other side. And though that was always in the thought, perhaps, that, yeah, they're the ones that are closer, and by natural means, they're the ones that are going to be reaching that point sooner than what we younger ones are. But I seem to begin to understand a little bit more that tug does increase with age. Faith brings heaven. When we think about what faith brings us in that relation, it ought to stir our heart, though sometimes it doesn't stir us younger ones as much as it does the older ones. Because the younger ones still have so many things to reach for and to strive for and to live for and to achieve and to receive and all of that. You know, teenagers don't want the Lord to come back until after they get their driver's license, or after they can get married, or after they can have their children, or after they can have their grandchildren. I was walking through Walmart yesterday, and some little kid in a cart was pointing down the aisle towards me, and as I got closer, he just kept pointing, and as I walked past, the lady that was standing there with him said, "That's not your grandpa." And I turned around and said, "I'm not even old enough to be a grandpa." And then I said, "Well, wait a minute, I am." Some people are grandparents younger than I am. Heaven, the tug, the pull to heaven. Faith brings heaven. Jesus' promise to us is that He will come again. The angel's promise was that just as ye have seen Him go into heaven, He shall come also in like manner. The same way, He's going to suddenly appear and He's going to call His bride's name. Faith brings us heaven. This is the victory, even our faith. Paul said, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. He found freedom through faith. He found that his faith was strong enough to provide action. He realized that his faith would provide him the insight that he would need. Through his faith, he learned to believe and trust in God. And ultimately, he said, there's a crown laid up waiting for me. I've finished the course, and I've kept my faith. Let's stand together tonight. Overcome the world by our faith. Be victorious this week. Be victorious and overcome. Praise God. Jaron, would you dismiss us in prayer?